Welcome to installment 49 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will discuss prohibition number 321, a prohibition we discussed a number of days ago, that of Tchum Shabbos, the prohibition of traveling outside the prescribed Shabbos boundary. This prohibition is derived from the book of Exodus in the discussion of the manna, where the Jewish people were commanded not to collect the manna on the seventh day, on Shabbos. And they were told, Al yetze ish mim kemei b'yeim ha-shvi. Let no person go outside his designated place on Shabbos. This comes to teach us in this generation, says the Mechilta, for all times, that the Jewish people are forbidden from traveling outside their prescribed limit on Shabbos, namely 2,000 amos, or between 900 and 1,000 meters. These 2,000 meters are measured in all four directions from the boundaries of a city, and if one goes outside this 2,000 amma suburb, so to speak, this outer boundary of the city, even one amma, one is violating this prohibition. In the Tractate Erevin, where the details of this commandment are discussed, the punishment is also prescribed, that one gets lashes by biblical decree, indicating that this is a biblical commandment and counts as one of the 613, as the Rambam declares in his introductory section to the enumeration of the 613 commandments, that this is one test that we can look at to judge whether a commandment counts as one of the 613 or not, to see whether one would incur lashes for a violation. If one gets lashed, then this is a clear indication that it counts as one of the 613. In his legal code, Mishneh Torah, the Rambam clearly defines which exactly is the biblical prohibition and which is only by rabbinic ordinance. The 2,000 cubit, or amma, measurement which we have mentioned previously is equal to one meal. And this is certainly the halacha, one is prohibited from going one meal, or 2,000 ammas, outside the city limit. However, by biblical law, one would only transgress this prohibition after going 12 mil, or 24,000 ammas outside the city limit. The 2,000 amma boundary is by rabbinic decree. And the source for this is brought from the Machane Yisrael, the encampment of the Jewish people in the desert. Their camp took up 12 mil in all directions, and therefore this is considered mim kemei, the place of the encampment, beyond which one is prohibited from going, to be 12 mil. That is the biblical law. However, by rabbinic decree, our sages said that even outside 2,000 amas, one is prohibited to go. This we learn from the law of Orem Miklat, of the cities of refuge, that when one runs away from an avenger, if one has committed an unintentional murder, a manslaughter, and is running away from someone trying to avenge the blood of the victim, there are certain Orem Miklat, cities of refuge, to which one can run, as the Rambam will explain later in Sefer HaMitzvahs. One must not reach that city in order to be saved. Even if one reaches the outskirts of the city, namely 2,000 amas, away from the city boundaries, one is already considered to be in the city. And therefore you learn from that case, as well as another case, that this is also considered to be part of the city, and the prohibition applies only to going beyond that boundary. Should one go outside the Tchum Shabbos, the boundary which is 2,000 amas outside the edge of the city, our sages have penalized him, and should he have done it intentionally. And he is prohibited from moving more than 4 amas, or approximately 6 feet. However, a provision is made that if someone should have to go another 2,000 amas beyond that for the cause of doing some sort of mitzvah, and it would be necessary to start on Shabbos, there is a procedure that one can go through in order to extend, so to speak, the Shabbos boundary for him personally. Let us say, for example, a person must go to a wedding, either that night after Shabbos, or let us say the next morning. And in order to reach there in time, he will have to start walking on Shabbos. And in fact, will have to go beyond the Tchum Shabbos in order to reach the Chasana, the wedding, on time. Now, we are forbidden from walking more than 2,000 amas outside the city limits. In other words, beyond the Tchum Shabbos. Our sages allowed that a person could set up house, so to speak, on this Tchum Shabbos at the limits, and thereby, by looking at this as his home, personally extend his Tchum, his Shabbos boundary, another 2,000 Amos beyond that. This is known as Eruv Tchumin. You mix together the boundaries. In other words, this which was previously outside the Shabbos boundary, you are now mixing with the city, with inside the Tchum, and making it part of your own personal space. How does one do this act, known as being Kena Shvisa, acquiring this as a place of your dwelling? Before Shabbos comes in, and at Beina Shmashes, at the entrance of Shabbos, one takes enough food for two meals, and places it there on the boundary. In doing so, this becomes, so to speak, the person's dwelling place, and therefore, from this place, he has another 2,000 amas beyond, in which he is able to walk. Therefore, he is allowed to begin walking on Shabbos, and can walk to the Tchum Shabbos, which anyway he would be allowed to, and there he has the place of his meals, and he is allowed to get a head start with another 2,000 amas beyond that, where he can continue to walk. And then after the Shabbos, he will already be well upon his way. This procedure of Erev Tchumin seems at first glance to be a little bit strange. After all, this person is still living in his regular house. When Shabbos comes in, he sleeps in his regular bed in his regular house, and he even eats his meals there. And although he placed enough food for two meals there by the Shabbos boundary, he still is sleeping and eating in his own home. Who are we fooling here? That's not his house. He can't live there. He's living in his house. Why should it be that this should be considered to be his house in order to extend the Shabbos boundary? In Shulchan Aruch, the opinion of Rashi, the explanation of Rashi is brought, that since a person's mind is on this place, that he has his food there, his mind is on that place, and since his thoughts are concentrated there, it is as if he himself is there. Although physically he's not there, nevertheless his thoughts are enough to make it considered the place where he is. From this clear halacha, Chassidus brings an amazing lesson for every individual. In the name of the Baal Shem Tov, it is explained, "B'makom shemachshavta shel adam," in the place where a person's thoughts are directed, "Sham hu nimtza," this is where he is found, this is where he is. That this is part of the amazing power of thought, that although physically one might be in a certain situation, through thinking about another situation and a strong desire to be somewhere else, it is as if you are actually in that other place. And more than that, as the Rebbe Shlita once wrote, without a chafa dimyan, not only as if you are in that other place, you are in that other place. And this applies even as far as halacha is concerned, that the Jewish law considers as if this is your home. You have placed the food on the Shabbos boundary, this becomes your home. Why? You're not living there, but your thoughts are there. It is just like you yourself are there. Similarly, through thoughts about Torah and mitzvahs, thoughts of holiness, thoughts of redemption, we can remove ourselves from our present situation, v'sham hu nimtza. We can actually be found there, that our thought has the power to totally reconstruct our outlook on life and actually where our true existence is. Not where we physically are, but where our thoughts are. There's another type of Eruv, not directly associated with today's commandment, but similarly named, since it has the same idea. Eruv Chatzeros is the idea of mixing together the boundaries and the territories of various people. Our sages, in the days of King Solomon, made a prohibition on carrying from one private domain to another private domain. Although we already know that one of the 39 acts of prohibited activity is carrying from one place, a private domain, to a public domain, or vice versa, it would seem that from one person's private domain to another's would be allowed. However, they prohibited this, and the only time it can be allowed is through Eruv Chatzeros. Again, through placing some jointly owned food in one of the homes, this makes it considered as if everyone has a share in this food, and therefore it is as if this is everyone's territory. It's part of every single person's property that has participated in the creation of this Eruv. This is traditionally done right before Pesach with some fresh matzah, so it can last through Pesach and actually for the whole year, should the Eruv be required year-round. Why did the sages establish such a requirement? Halachically, it is explained that in order to keep people from making a mistake and not to carry from one domain to another, they prohibited even from carrying from the same type of domain. Should it belong to one person, to carry it from this person's to another person's private domain. This is the halachic reason involved. However, the Talmud Yerushalmi gives another reason. And Omar Rav Yeshua said the entire reason for our sages to establish this was in order to make peace between neighbors and make a spirit of shalom among them. An example is given of a story with two women who were neighbors who hated each other. However, it came time that they had to carry in the courtyard together. So one woman took her son and sent her with part of food, with some food to be used for the Eruv, to her neighbor. When her neighbor saw this boy coming with the food, she was overcome with a feeling of love for him, seeing that they were sharing together in the food and the creation of the Eruv, and she grabbed the child and she hugged him and she kissed him. The child went home and told his mother about the great love that the neighbor had shown for him. And from this they came to make peace between themselves. And this that the Talmud concludes is the meaning of the verse, that its ways, the ways of Torah, are pleasant ways, and all of its paths are peace. As our sages tell us that the Torah was given in order to bring peace to the world, and conversely, when there is this peace between fellow men, with an increase in Ahavas Yisrael, in this way we will fulfill Kol HaTorah Kula, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that through fulfillment of the commandment of Ahavas Yisrael, and elevating the spiritual values and the spiritual qualities of other people above their physical appearance and their outward external characteristics, we can elevate the spiritual over the physical and thereby come to fulfill the entire Torah.